Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Show your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Yes, we are here for you, New Year's Eve. We're talking about the Rose Bowl coming up. Spent a lot of time talking about that game yesterday, but we'll get into that a little bit more. We still have one more playoff game to cover before we get to that.
A big one.
Yeah, a good one.
Yeah,
I great think so. Little matchup.
Outside of the
great little matchup.
The Rose Bowl, this is the one that I'm most looking forward to.
Well, I think that's most people. I mean, come on. Then the other two are like you said, David and Goliath, and then Oregon, Iowa State, and then Georgia, Notre Dame are great matchups.
Yeah, it's like, a 1.5 point spread, I believe.
Really interesting because you've got one team that we never trust in games like this, Notre Dame, and another team who we do, but they're without their quarterback.
Yeah.
So who do you trust more in this scenario?
Well, it's weird because Georgia, you know, Georgia still ended up, you know, being 11-2, and they beat Texas twice, and we obviously think a lot of Texas. But at the same time, I watched Georgia play a bunch this year, and I was never overly impressed.
It was not the same Georgia. It didn't seem like
it was not the same Georgia. And in fact, this is, for the last 5 years, this has been a top five defense nationally. In fact, there's really not many categories where they're even a top 30 defense. They're most of them, you look at it, it's right about 35th in the country. And we can get into a debate of, you know, teams they played and, you know, how good the SEC was. But yeah, Alabama put up 41 on them. Ole Miss put up 28 on them. Georgia Tech put up 42 and ran all over them. You know, Texas wasn't able to, though. I mean, they took a pretty good Texas team, and they kind of put the kibosh on Texas both times they played them.
They did hammer Clemson. But that was early.
That was early in the year. And again, Clemson only scored 3 points on them. So, you know, they had that ugly game, 13-12 against Kentucky that they probably should have lost.
Didn't they beat Tennessee pretty bad?
Yeah, they beat Tennessee 31-17.
So, I mean, that's a pretty good resume. I mean, beating Texas twice.
Look, I'm not saying that Georgia isn't good. But again, if we're looking at this, remember what I said about Boise? I think this is the lesser of all of those Boise teams that have gone to the BCS games. This is by far the lesser of all those Georgia teams. And then when you look at the fact that you have a guy in Gunnar Stockton coming in that's going to be starting his first game, and yes, I get that he had the three scoring drives and when he came in that second half, but when you go back and watch that was the most chaotic offense. Yeah. If they have to play that way in this game, they will lose. One, he won't survive. I mean, he got drilled.
Are we sure his head is even on his
body? Possible that he could be playing with like a stick through that
thing. His face when he got didn't his helmet come off?
Yeah, his helmet came off.
His face when he got drilled, my God.
He looked dead.
He did look dead.
And then also,
Before you get going on the Stockton thing, off the Stockton thing, I got to say, I agree wholeheartedly. Like, I still cannot believe, and this may be a scorned better here, I cannot effing believe that Texas could not beat them once Carson Beck went out of that game.
Yep.
And quite frankly, if you, like you're saying, if you watch that second half closely, Texas gave them every...
Yes, they didn't want it.
Everything that they got. Look, I don't want to take too much away from Georgia, but that was not about Gunnar Stockton, dude.
No.
When I left that game going, they're done. Yeah. That dude ain't it. But over time, I just think he's going to be much better. Like, I have a lot of faith in Kirby Smart and those coaches there to coach him up knowing that he's going to be the starter. I think it's very different when he has to go into the game, a huge game against a really good defense of Texas at halftime, and just kind of wing it.
Yeah.
That did not look good. I would imagine you're going to see a better Gunnar Stockton. I'm not saying he's it. I'm not saying they're going to win. I'm just saying, you know, there's going to be a better game plan with him as their quarterback.
Yeah.
And might I offer this before you continue about Georgia? Has anybody thought that perhaps Gunnar Stockton might actually be better for Georgia than Carson Beck? Because Carson Beck, as good as he is upside-wise, he screwed up a lot this year.
Yeah.
He turned it over a lot this year. He did not look that great. So if Gunnar Stockton is more the, hey, protect the ball, let's run it, make the right reads, don't do anything stupid, if he's more that, that might be better for Georgia.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but boy, you're asking a lot. And I know we've, you know, Tua came in the second half and led to a national championship run. You're just asking a lot to get dumped in for your first start and be like, by the way, you know, go. And at no point did they turn to him, even when Carson Beck had his struggles. This wasn't like an Arch Manning sort of thing. And by the way, he did throw the bad pick in that Texas game. Like,
yeah, he did.
He did.
They fumbled twice, too, and they fell on it.
Fell on him, both of them.
In the second
half. And so when you look at Georgia and you look at some of the guys that they have had, some of the offensive weapons, you know, over these runs, look, Georgia's good, but this is not the backs they have. Frazier and ETN are not the Nick Chubbs of the world. And no offense, but Nate Frazier and who's, I forget who their tight end is. They have a decent tight
Brock
end.
Brock Bowers.
No, it's the Lawson kid. Lucky Lawson.
Yeah, they're not the same.
It's not Washington. It's
so
not Brock
Bowers.
So are
you on Notre Dame? Is that what you're saying?
I'm on Notre Dame.
You trust Notre Dame more in this spot?
So when you look at Notre Dame runs the ball phenomenally. They run the ball and they play defense. Now, their best defensive lineman went out. He got hurt against Indiana, and they're already down two edge rushers.
Riley Mills.
It scares me a little bit that, again, like the Lions, that you're losing enough bodies. I'm like, ah, God, can you hold up? But Notre Dame plays exceptional defense. They run the ball real well. What they don't do is they don't throw the ball real well. And that's the part I wish they would throw the ball a little bit better. But I actually think Notre Dame is a better team than Georgia. I think they're more a complete team than Georgia. I think they have a better quarterback than Georgia. I think they have a better defense than Georgia. And despite what Georgia has done to Texas this year and putting the kibosh on that, we've seen other offenses that aren't as good as Notre Dame's have their way with the Georgia defense. So I really think the only reason that Georgia is favored in this is because it's Georgia and it's Notre Dame. And so, no, I actually think that Notre Dame is the better team here, and I think Notre Dame is going to win this game.
Yeah, Riley Leonard, he hasn't thrown for over 250 yards in any game this year.
No.
Which is weird because you hear his name a lot.
Yeah.
But the thing that has given Georgia problems are running quarterbacks.
And what is Riley Leonard?
And that's what he is. So. Yeah. That's certainly something to watch out for too. I love this matchup because Georgia is just one of those teams. I tend to agree with you about the just who's better, but oftentimes who's better doesn't. That's not everything.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like Oregon is better than Ohio State.
Yeah.
But you think that means Oregon's going to win tomorrow?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
So. Georgia's just one of those teams.
Yeah, you trust them.
Well, they just find a way. I don't know if you can measure resilience. Is it resiliency or resilience?
What's both.
Yeah.
They have resiliency and they're resilient.
All of that.
Yes.
I don't know if you can measure that, but they just seem to come up with stops when they need it. They're really well coached. They just...
Yeah.
I can't count them out. I just have a hard time going.
I'm
not saying count them out. I just have a hard time going against them. Yeah. I trust them more. That's why I framed the question as, who do you trust more? The Georgia, who has the championship pedigree, the championship coach, and players on this team who have won a title, or Notre Dame, who's probably better, but never wins these games.
No.
Has a coach who has, this is his biggest game by a million.
100%.
A program defining game. Like, I just lean towards, like, I'll go with the horse that I know.
No, I get it.
I don't know. I just think in this
day and age with the transfer portal and spreading out of talent, I just don't think that the Alabamas and the Georgias are as deep. I think, and I like the way Notre Dame is playing, and I don't know. I've seen Georgia enough this year, and it's stupid because they just got done beating Texas in the SEC title game. I just have not been overly impressed with Georgia.
Yeah, and that's the thing about
defense
them.
And running is what travels in these games.
That's the thing. I agree with you about Georgia because I think we're comparing them to the old Georgias. Yeah. And a couple of those teams, one of them particularly, the one Dan Lanning was on, the won the title.
Yep.
They were perfect.
Yes.
One
of the best college teams ever.
So we have a high expectation for Georgia, yeah. And this team certainly hasn't been that. But here they are. That's what I'm saying about them. Here they are. And they're here without freaking Carson Beck.
Yeah.
It's just, they're unbelievable. Like, how the hell do you beat Texas without your quarterback? And yet they did it.
They did it.
So there's just something about them.
Trust factor.
I don't know if it's Kirby. I don't know if it's just having been in so many of these types of games.
Oh, believe me, the words.
But if they lose, though, yeah. Think about this. We're already talking about the Big Ten is 4-1 against the SEC.
Yeah.
If Georgia loses here,
yeah.
And God, well, I mean, I think Texas probably can beat Arizona State. Okay, so they move on. Let's move at least one SEC team on.
But if Georgia got skunked,
yeah. If Georgia loses, those whispers are going to get louder, man, about how the SEC was just garbage this year, and you may very well be right. Yeah. And I say garbage, yeah. It's not garbage, yeah. But you know what I mean.
Sure,
this is just not a great year for the SEC, and that could be proven by what you're saying by Georgia, who is here just not being as great as Notre Dame.
Dude, the fact that the words Notre Dame are coming out of my mouth in a big game against the SEC is enough to make me cringe. And maybe I'm just doing it to be a contrarian and just say I don't trust Georgia this year, and I don't like him, and I'm not an anti-SEC guy. In fact, I'm usually the opposite. That says, dude, we all hate on the SEC, but we hate on it because we wish that our teams were like SEC teams because they prove it time and time again. But I think this is a case where we're doing the opposite. I think where a lot of times we try to dismiss the SEC because we want it to be, I think we're trying to uplift the SEC because the SEC can't be average. And I think they are. I think Georgia is a good, not a great team.
All right. Rose Bowl talk next hour. You know what I'm going to do next?
What do we got? What do we got? Well, I'm hoping. Don't we have news?
4:30.
Oh, I thought we were there. I need news.
We have NFL Naval Fuzz coming up next.
Oh, let's go.
Got a couple NFL things here we got to discuss.
You pull out a piece of fuzz and you're kind of bewildered. You're like, where did that come from?
Yes, because it's oftentimes you've showered.
Yeah.
So you know it's not in there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like you put on a shirt and then all of a sudden it's in there.
Yeah. You're like, what?
It's like it jumps off the shirt into your hairy belly button.
Yeah. I'll do a Q-tip around there and sometimes what comes out, I'll sit there and look at it for like, a good 30 seconds and just be like, what is happening? You don't do a Q-tip in there?
No.
Oh, you got to clean that out.
By the way, Buck sent a picture of Ryan Day and Dan Lanning from Rose Bowl with the perfect caption. It's so true. Have either of those guys slept in weeks? You tell me.
They look so dead.
They both look dead. Yeah. Who has bigger bags under their eyes, Ryan Day or Dan Lanning?
And Lanning's at least trying to put on a smile. Day looks like he's going to fall over and die.
Yeah, we have a clear focus of what we're trying to accomplish. And
but I will tell you right now.
I've said before that everybody has an assignment. Everybody has a job. They got to do their job.
He sounds better now. Ryan Day
doesn't look good.
Ryan Day gets the Jerry Kill Award for the coach that will collapse on the sidelines and die. He just, in the bad dye job, I told you, he's turning into fat Steven Seagal. One of these days, he's just going to keel over, and people are going to be like, I can't believe it. And I'm going to be like, no, I can totally believe it.
All right. More Rose Bowl later. Coming up next, NFL Naval Fuzz on The Fan. We were talking about Dan Lanning during the break. And I wanted to get some info on his parents. Like he never talks about his parents.
No, I have not heard anything.
Well, we talked to him about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But we've never talked to him about his parents. We've talked to him about his family, his big front door, his life back in the Midwest, but he never really brings up his parents.
No.
So I went down a rabbit hole of
trying to find Don Lanning.
His name is Don. Mom's name is Janice.
Don and Janice.
Yes.
That is right up the Midwest
Don
alley.
And Dan is really something.
Yeah. Don, they're from Richmond, Missouri. Don was a science teacher. And I came across an article by Dennis Dodd that came out back when Lanning first started. And I can't find a picture of Don. I wanted to see what Don and Janice were bringing to the table. Yeah. I can't find that. Perhaps they have Facebook pages. I don't know. I don't have Facebook because that's what everybody in the Midwest has. But I did read some quotes from Don in this Dennis Dodd piece, and they're great. First of all, Don's dog's name is Bear, and guess where he got that name?
It's going to be Bear Bryant, I'm assuming.
Exactly. Yeah. He brings up Bear Bryant 20 times in this?
Yeah, I can see that.
So
we know where Dan
the apple does not fall far from the tree.
We know where Dan got the passion.
He says about Dan, he said, I was going to read you a quote here. But kind of a long read.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
Yeah, he said, there will never be a defense that epic ever. He was talking about Dan's last defense at Georgia before he came to Oregon.
Yeah, it was like the Jalen Carter group. I mean, that's...
Dude, he's... And Don is just over the moon. He's like, that's Bear Bryant stuff right there. He said, even when Dan... he said, there will not be a defense probably that epic ever. That's the backdrop for the ongoing task, determining how a humble country kid from the 130th largest city in Missouri has become such a ruthless killer as a coach. From Bear the dog to Dan, he says, even, this is Don speaking, even when he was a little kid, he was a steely-eyed little guy that would not flinch. And you can just picture old Don sitting there talking with his, with his like woodworking hands, you know, old Midwest dad. He said, I'm a dad that was always messing with my boys, wrestling with them, playing with them. He would never, ever, ever give up.
Yeah. One of those dads, too, that never let Dan win.
Nope.
Dan Lanning to this day has never beaten Don in anything.
He said, I could have you. Oh, my God. I'm going to hold on. I'm choking.
You can sleep when you die.
Excuse me. That's right. Sleep when you die.
Yeah.
I could have him mashed to the floor. He could hardly breathe, but he would never surrender.
You would... over your helmet!
He says, you see the adult version of that in his coaching career.
Gosh. You know, this is one of those things where, like, Dan Lanning has accomplished so much at a young age, but I'll tell you what, I am very grateful that I did not grow up like that.
Yeah, you can kind of see where it comes from.
Now. Yeah, you can see where that comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess that's Don.
And that's the same thing, like, when you... He reminds me of, like, when you hear how Jim Harbaugh grew up, right?
It's, yeah.
It's that story of Jim Harbaugh, like, a lot of milk. And
except
just
his dad's out there. Like, you see him all the time.
Yes.
A lot of milk.
Why do we never see Don Lanning?
Give it some time. Give it some
time. See, I don't know. In this article, he says that he loved going to games at Georgia, and he was going to miss that. And he kind of said... He's like,
You wonder if he thinks he's like, yeah, sissy's out here in Oregon.
I think he kind of alluded. I'm reading between the lines here. I don't want to put words in Don Lanning's mouth, but he kind of alluded to the fact, he's like, I don't really know what it's like out there, but I ain't going out there.
Well, and wouldn't you think that with all these resources and all this money that, like, they would have been out to a game?
Oh, I would imagine.
And then, like, they'd be like, hey, there's Don and Janice Lanning, and they, like, do the little, like,
I'm sure he's been out, but. Maybe not.
But no one knows they've been there. We've never seen them.
This is weird. It's kind of weird. I'm not going to lie. The Don Janice thing, I need more. I want more. I'm going to start peeling back the layers of this onion.
It's possible that when you're from the Midwest like that, Eugene may be going to Mars. And they're just not. Man, maybe Dan knows that his elderly parents are not ready for what Eugene's bringing to the table. It's just.
St. Georgia, Dan.
It's like that kid on. Was the kid on signing day that picks to go to Oregon, and the mom is sitting there with the Georgia hat and is just pissed. She's like, I'm not happy about this. Maybe it's one of those. It's like, Dad, we're really good. Like, we could win a national title. And he's like, you already did at Georgia, a real national championship.
Look, man.
Like, after they lost that first game against Georgia, his dad's like, I told you. told you, son.
I want more Don Lanning.
Yeah. We need it.
Go chase your woke wins out there on the West Coast.
That's right.
The idea of pinning your son down and he can't breathe and be like, you gonna tap, boy? No! Never, Dad! Never!
That's literally like an anecdote out of the Harbaugh family files. John says the last time they ever physically fought, Jim was holding his head underwater at the beach and he thought he was gonna drown for real.
Yes.
And he hasn't fought him since.
Like seeing that, where it all comes from.
Yeah, that sort of mentality is just
good stuff.
Fascinating.
There's a Don Lanning segment. Sorry, we didn't get to NFL.
We didn't even know.
We needed that.
I think we did. Yeah.
But we were just talking about how Dan Lanny may age because he's a young fella.
Well, that's what you were talking about. You were saying, what's he going to look like? Because we were talking about the picture, how he looks so tired.
Yeah,
and if he's working tirelessly.
Yeah, and if you look at Ryan Day when he first took the Ohio State job versus now, he looks terrible.
Yeah, so how is most coaches do? Like,
yes.
Give me a coach that looks.
Well, it's like the president. You look at when the president takes office and when he leaves. And I just pose the question, if we kick this thing down the road, Lanny's like 38, if we kick it down to where he's 45, is there a chance that Dan Lanning maybe ages a little bit? You know what I mean?
Well, of course he's going to age, but then I went to look at his dad. That's why I was Googling Don Lanning.
Well, I'm trying to work the YouTube chat right now because someone in here says they sat close to his parents in Las Vegas last year for the Pac-12 championship.
Okay.
So trying to get some recon.
Okay, great. Let's get on this.
I want
to interview Don.
Can we next time we talk to Dan, hey, can your parents?
Do you think they're in the Richmond, Missouri phone book?
We
probably.
You know?
How pissed would Coach Lanning be if we went roundabout and got a hold of Don?
Just talk to his parents directly.
What if we brought Don on for the Dan Lanning postgame show every week?
What if we brought Don on and surprised Dan and had Don interview him?
Oh, dude. Something tells me Dan would be pissed.
I think something, so. It's not something.
There's
it's
like six
everything.
Things that would make Dan pissed about that.
Boy.
But then on the air, he would have to like go along with it.
I don't think
it'd be
he
so
would.
Uncomfortable.
It'd be the last time we ever spoke to him.
I think that would be the last time we ever spoke to the coach. No. I think that right there, them fighting words right there. Next thing you know, we're in some sort of wrestling match with Dan Lanning getting pinned or pinning.
Good times. All right, let's get to in the news. We've got discount rides tonight if you need one for a New Year's Eve because you all are going to be sloppy drunk out there.
Yeah, be careful out there, man. It's amateur hour.
We'll tell you how you can get one of those coming up next. But first, Buck with SportsCenter.
Whiskey bottle.
All right, nice to have you along. I'm going to take a little break from football.
Someone is saying that I was watching, I did not see this. The Boise State kids were running out on the field. And I saw Genty with a sledgehammer, and I did see at the beginning some guy was always, they always have someone carrying the American flag. They're saying the player carrying the American flag face planted.
Because of the field, the slippery field?
Yeah, he ate at, he went down, which that's a bit embarrassing. Yeah, flags! Yeah, you're running out there with the flag, and like you're all geared up, you're all high-teed, like,
America,
and then you eat it?
That's the one guy you don't want to go down.
No.
And the coach.
Yeah, it's
like if the
is
coach,
that a bad sign for your team too?
Yes,
that's what I'm saying. That might be maybe a bit rough.
I love this kicker for Penn State. That big.
Oh, he's a beef kick. I love him.
Guy. So weird.
Unbelievable.
Look at that guy's arms, and he wears his super high pants. Boise State though, going with this is the uniform combo, and they're doing it on purpose. This is the unis they were wearing when they knocked off Oklahoma in that first Fiesta Bowl.
Got the orange pants.
Yeah.
The white jerseys and the blue helmets. Yeah,
it'd be pretty cool to see Boise State do this. I don't think they will, but it's going to be a good one.
December 31, 2024. It's time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. Today is New Year's Eve, but you knew that. That means that tomorrow is a new year.
Happy New Year.
2025. Almost. Can you believe that?
I say it every year, but I feel especially this year went really, really stinking fast.
Well, as you get older, they go faster.
Yeah.
You kids, take note.
Yeah.
It is also Make Up Your Mind Day.
No, I don't want to.
So make up your mind.
About?
Bitch. Well, my link is not popping up here, but I want to disseminate news to the people about the discounted New Year's Eve rides if you need one tonight.
Oh, yeah. Which, by the way, be careful out there. One, there's 1,000 cops. And two, don't kill anyone. Don't go to prison. You know, it's people are like, oh, I don't want to spend the $40 to get home. Well, you don't want to spend the $10,000 on the DUI or God forbid worse. And like you said, discounted rides.
You can take it from me. The Uber ride is well worth it.
Yes.
It's money well spent.
When in doubt,
trust me.
Spend the money. What is it? Like two cocktails that you spend on that Uber ride?
Good. They're going to surge you to death tonight. And that's going to want to call you off the ball, but trust me, don't.
That will lead to somebody making a bad decision. The surgery.
Will.
I don't want to pay for the surgery.
I'm telling you, just pay for it.
I have been there where you see the person call and then they look down and they're like, I'm not paying that. They're like, that's not the way this works. Hey, I don't think I should drive. $62. I don't think so.
The Portland Bureau of Transportation wants to get everyone home safely.
Yes. We all want to get everyone home safely.
They are offering discounted taxi, Lyft, and Uber rides as part of their Safe Ride Home program.
It's good.
So Safe Ride Home coupons up to $20 off a taxi fare or up to $10 off a Lyft or Uber ride while supplies last are valid on rides originating in the city of Portland between 7 p.m. tonight and 4 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Okay. So, and if you're out till 4:30, boy, just stay where you're at. Wherever you're at 4:30, that's where you're at for the evening.
So they have digital.
Even if that's a curb, just lay down.
They have digital coupons for you.
Okay. That's good.
And you can find those online.
I'm going nowhere. I'm old and I'll be on my couch.
Safe Ride Home Program.
Yeah.
And then if you hop on any TriMet bus or MAX train starting at 8 p.m., free until 3 a.m.
Even better.
How about that? Hey. Streetcar, 8 p.m. through midnight. C-Tran, also free bus rides after 6.
Can you imagine being all housed and you haven't been? When's the last time you were on mass transit in the city?
Here?
Yeah. It's been a long time for me.
Yeah.
I'm just the idea of me being all soused up and then be like, you know what? I'm going to go explore the city bus routes. I'm sure I won't get lost
at all. I wonder
if
that guy will try to cut my beard.
Is there some guy cutting beards?
No, there's the guy who's cutting people's hair, I think.
Oh. He was, no, what he was doing was...
Well, there was a guy who was cutting people's hair, too. There's the other guy who
was doing the unspeakables. Bad things, yeah, to people's hair. You know,
well, I'll tell you what. You cut my beard while we're on a public transit situation.
Don't do that? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying, if you're going to go ahead and cut that beard, you better take those scissors and stab me with it, because we're going to have an issue. I promise you. Well, you're not going to get to cut my beard and then look at me and be like, ha-ha, fun TikTok prank.
Portland shootings are on track for their lowest since 2019.
Hey, I saw this across the country, that violent crime and murder, yep, and all that stuff is plummeting.
It's going down.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Obama. Oh, wait.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Trump.
No, yeah, it's because we know that he's being elected.
Right.
Therefore, we're all feel
we're
better.
Give him credit,
yeah, we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
If you do it anymore, you're going to have problems.
Exactly.
I think perhaps it's that we've kind of calmed down since that wild COVID phase that everyone was like freaking out.
Yeah, that got everyone a little jazzed.
A lot
up
of anxiety
there
going down in the last couple of years, but I feel like we're calming down a little bit.
Everyone's just taking a step back at this point, being like, "Hey, man, I'm sorry about all that. Like it." Got a little worked up. Penn State, by the way, has 10 people at the line of scrimmage on right these snaps against Boise.
And Boise State's driving.
Yeah,
moving
State's
the ball.
Moving the ball.
It's like that Penn State at this point is like anyone but two.
Watch Maddox throw for like 395. Or was it Madsen?
Madsen.
Maddox Madsen.
Yeah.
Watch him throw for 450.
He may have to.
It's over under with 172.
Did you bet that?
No.
Neither way. Are you on this game? I didn't.
I'm all over Penn State in this game.
Are you?
You're laying the points, huh?
I got props. I like the over a lot, but I think that a number of Penn State players should have a very big game.
They blocked it. Freaking Boise State.
Yeah, Boise State drives down, nice drive, kicks a field goal, and El Blocko.
What else do I have for you here, Jay? Oh, yeah. Portland shootings are on track for their lowest annual total since 2019. Portland police showing 42 shootings in November, the lowest monthly total since March of 2020, and that's when everyone was freaking out about COVID.
42 is the lowest?
Yeah, for a month.
Am I? Yeah, I would have thought.
There's a lot of shootings, dude.
Oh, yeah.
But not a lot of deaths. I think when you get to the deaths,
the
number gets really lower.
That's a valid point.
But there's a lot of random shootings.
Okay. You know. For a minute there, I was like, boy, that seems like a lot, but you're right. Shootings versus deaths. Yeah, when someone gets shot, we're collectively like, "Yeah, it's fine."
Unless they die, and then it's like, another one.
Yeah, there you go. He winged him. Yeah, he's fine.
It's a trend that's become all too familiar.
That is.
As the city grapples with a massive surge in gun violence that started in 2020, but the latest data is positive.
I like it.
According to Mike Benner, remember him?
I do.
He is, of course, the spokesperson now for the Portland Police Bureau.
I used to love when there was a story, a situation was going down, you know that Mike was going to be there with his...
Benner, he's on it.
His bald head out there.
Former newsman. He says it's incredibly encouraging, but by no means are we waving the victory flag. Well, I would hope not,
no.
Mike.
You can't be like, hey, only 42 people got shot, but...
Guess we're all going to go home now.
We're good. This is disappointing. I have a good buddy of mine that's an officer of the law in Portland. Anytime something goes wrong, I like to call him and blame him. No matter what it is in the city, I just like to fire off a text with the news story and be like, thanks a lot, jackass. Now I have to, do I have to now text him and be like, way to go? Do I have to give him positive reinforcement?
Yeah, give him some, he's a Portland cop?
Yeah, he's a Portland
cop. Yeah, give him some love. Well, wait, I don't know. I mean, did he do anything?
Well, he doesn't do anything to cause it either, but I like to blame him a lot. So now that we're trending in the right direction.
Give him some love. Prop him up.
I just text him back, hey, I heard that the shootings are down. Way to go.
Talk about a crappy Thanksgiving. We'll get to this story next on The Fan.
That ain't no bird.
Nice to have you along. This is In the News, December 31, 2024. Noted newsman here. It's brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. So talk about a crappy Thanksgiving. This was left over from the holiday that, well, the prior holiday. Like, so we have this holiday tomorrow. We had the Christmas holiday.
Two holidays.
Do you remember the one before that? It was called Thanksgiving.
Something about that, yeah.
Well, this happened in Portland. And there was a family that was in their apartment in Southwest, and they got a bunch of poop spilled on them.
Ooh, how did they get a bunch of, like a septic tank kind of?
Yeah, a bunch of doo-doo.
Kablooey?
Yeah.
That would kind of ruin, wait, in the house? Were they outside?
Well, it was an apartment.
Yeah.
And it was a blocked city sewer line.
Oh, that's no good.
And it released more than 5,000 gallons of sewage into their apartment.
That's a lot of dew, man.
Into their apartment.
That's a lot of dew. You know who they call at that point? You call the Advocates. Well, maybe you call someone to, like, a super, and then once that's done, I don't know a lot about the law, but if someone dumps a couple thousand gallons of dew on you, you get to get something.
Now,
for that.
I don't know how the sewage system under the earth works, okay? I don't. I'm not an expert.
You are not an engineer.
However, is it wild of me to think that it's absurd that this happened? 5,000 gallons of poo-poo?
It does seem a bit much.
Is it wild for me to think that that's absurd that this happened because of a clogged toilet in another apartment?
Well, my guess is that this is one of those. This was the straw that broke the poo's back. I'm guessing that there was a situation that had been going on and on and on, and then, kablooey.
Yeah, I just feel like, again, ignorant sewage guy here.
Yeah.
But I just feel like a clogged toilet in an apartment should never lead to 5,000 gallons of poop in another apartment.
Well, you know what this is? You've got a case of the poop supposedas, but
maybe they should put me in charge of sewage.
Well, I'm guessing, like,
Sewage guy out there is like, yeah. Oh, Rob,
well,
come
once
on.
Once a line ruptures, I'm guessing it's just a free-for-all at that point. Like, it's just Thunderdome until someone turns off the poo. And, like, I mean, at an entire, think about all that for an entire apartment complex. Because once it's all connected, so
probably
once
just underneath.
Yeah, so once it blows, then you know, I don't know how you turn off the sewage to an apartment complex, but
yeah, I guess that's true.
If it
blows in the wrong spot,
yeah,
whoever's in that spot getting doused with poo-poo like Nickelodeon.
Poo runs downhill, and this unfortunate bastard and his family were
a woman. Her name is Amber Lewis.
Poor Amber. You're sitting down for some pumpkin pie and
yep.
I mean, hopefully you got to eat first.
No, they didn't.
Oh, man.
She has two daughters. But there's a heartwarming end to this story. The family temporarily housed in a one-bedroom apartment, but their story aired on the news because, you know, poop sells.
Yeah.
And they have raised over $10,000 through GoFundMe, enabled...
Poop awareness?
Yeah.
Nice.
Enabled her to buy school supplies and Christmas presents for her cute little daughters.
Look, I'm not going to lie. If I saw that, I would donate to that. If a family in need got poo dumped on them over the holidays, you're going to get $100 out of me.
Yeah, they said 122 people
good for them.
Donated money.
They're doo-doo also.
Yeah. And you need to do that.
Who's that?
That's what Anthony Newman says about other bad teams.
They're doo-doo.
I didn't know that. That's great.
They're doo-doo also.
I mean, I can't think of anything worse than having someone else's doo-doo. Have you ever had to, drain an RV toilet? Empty a septic tank?
No. I've seen it in Christmas Vacation.
It's just...
no. With Randy Quaid.
It's just... I can't. I can't begin to tell you how awful and truly foul it is. And having that come into your apartment
I'm too white-collar for that.
It's... It's so bad.
Me and Buck, we don't do that kind of stuff.
It's just so bad.
Even if we owned RVs, we wouldn't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you think this privilege has ever emptied septic?
Me neither.
Yeah, it's for the poor. It's for the poor.
It's for the poor. I don't know about the poor, but look, I ain't rich. I don't have an RV. If I had an RV, I still wouldn't.
It would have killed a lesser man.
Well, when I lived out in the country, we had to live on a, we were on a septic tank, and I had to replace that septic tank, and it's...
Yeah, I remember that story.
It's a dadgum
mistake. Cutting corners.
It's problematic.
Big Sue cutting corners.
It's problematic.
I'm very confident.
Yeah.
I've seen what a ruptured septic tank looks like. You don't want it.
You know what? That's all we have time for. Let's stay on track here.
Let's go.
That's in the news December 31, 2024, brought to you by the Abacus, injury attorneys at abacuslaw.com. Up next is the Hot 5 at 5. Got a couple baseball signings that we're going to corkscrew in. A couple college football notes and some bowl games today. All next on The Fan.